Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth, coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries. We're delighted you've taken the time to tune our way today. Trust something that is said, something in the songs that will speak to your heart, and we're sure that God will bless abundantly. We'll have a few comments to make here before we go into the message and after the song that we shall listen to. So thank you for tuning our way. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it's ours to share the good word of God, that men and women, boys and girls might be saved, that those who are saved might grow in the grace and knowledge of thee. I pray that you would work in such a way that the only lesson that could come from all of these messages is that God is in control. Lord, I thank you for the privilege. It's ours. Now may you be honored and glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thou my vision. What a tremendous song that is, and I hope it was a blessing to your heart. Now, we want to look at a couple of things. Another one of our missionaries is Brother A.D. Matthew up in the northeastern sector of India. His school building, his seminary and college building, had to be torn down. Now, there's no ground around to buy. They can't buy other ground and continue to use their building. But their building was basically condemned by the city. And so they've had to tear the building down. Now they need to build a building on that same location, and it's going to take them about $60,000 to build it with all the permits and everything else they need. So I would ask you to remember in prayer, A.D. Matthew, and the building need there in up in Mizoram. Understand that that's a very, very crucial ministry, as it is the only fundamental Bible school, Bible institute, or college, and that's a college there, and then they have a seminary, and it's all tied together, and they have been training pastors for many years, but they do need this building desperately. So keep that in prayer, if you will, please, and I know the Lord will bless as you pray. Now, we want to go over here to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. We're talking about serving the Lord. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at a number of portions of Scripture, and hopefully we'll get a good sense of what God wants from our lives. I think one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture that leads us to this thought of serving the Lord is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and beginning in verse 14. Now, we read over this on the previous broadcast, but we're going to go back to it. And I might say this, that we're going to look at a number of things that point out, seven things very quickly, that will point out the kind of service we ought to render to the Lord. If you'll notice in the verse, let's go back to verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your conscience. So very simply, the first thing that we see, the first element of this serving the Lord is knowing the terror of the Lord. The terror of the Lord presented in such a way that God will not overlook sin, but also he'll not overlook the faithfulness that we exercise in our service to him. So he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, that the Lord will hold us accountable. In fact, if you go back to verse 5, 10, pardon me, in chapter 5, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. All of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Those of us who are saved will stand there at the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for the works that we have done for the Lord. Not to get to heaven. No, we're gonna be there. We're going to be in heaven. That's because we've been born again. But what he's saying is, you and I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and there be evaluated as to the service that we have rendered. Now go with me back to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, and look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, that's the foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, here is the judgment seat of Christ as he weighs out our service to him. And so that's what is being mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And so when we come to look at the emphasis that Paul is giving to this church about service, the first thing we see is verse 11, chapter 5, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, that nothing is going to escape his watchful eye, his careful judgment. Number two, look at verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. We're talking about service. Literally, this word constrain means to press us down, to put a burden upon us. For the love of Christ presses us in, holds us captive, if you please. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So here we have the reality of our service, and that it is weighed at under the pressure of love for the Lord. You and I have a love for the Lord, and because we have that love, then we are really compelled in our spirits to be able to, or to go and serve the Lord in reaching the lost for Christ and glorifying his name in many other aspects. Now, notice, if you will, when we come to verse 15, let's go finish up verse 14. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So we recognize that Christ died for us. We were all dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That was the condition of the people in Ephesus. Well, it's our condition. It definitely is our condition. But now he says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. So here we have the third thing, that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ because of what Jesus Christ did for each of us. He did what we could not do. He died on that cross and paid the price for our sin, which we could never pay for. He sacrificed his life. He said, I always do those things that please the Father. And so he died for us and rose again. Now in Romans chapter 4, it says that he died for our sins and he rose again for our justification. So we have then the fact that he died for us. Therefore, we ought to live for him. You know, there's a song that the songwriter put, I'll live for him who died for me. Well, that's exactly what God is looking for, you and I, to set forth that example. Well, look at verse 16 then with me, and let's see the fourth thing. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, Paul is talking about the reality of knowing Jesus Christ in his everyday ministry. When he was on the earth, there were disciples, there were religious leaders. Many people followed him, saw what he did, and so they knew Christ in a physical setting. They knew him not talking about him as God, although he was very God when he was on this earth. But as man looked at him, they saw there was no flaw in his character. There was no deceit in his tongue. They saw that in Jesus Christ was everything that they could imagine a man should have to be an upright and stand forth in his testimony. So he says, henceforth know we him no more. Christ is different. Christ is different than anybody or anything else. And so when we lean upon him, we are giving ourselves over to the very Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So we do not know him as one who is after the flesh. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ through the eye of faith, we serve him because of the life that he lived and the things that he did. So very simply, he is everything to us, and we gain our strength from him. Then he goes on, verse 16, which we read, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. There's something far different from Jesus Christ. You see, it was Paul who saw Christ on the road to Damascus. We do not know if Paul, when he was Saul, if he saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking about in his ministry, probably did, but we're not told that. That is not declared to us. But what he's saying is, you know, we, through the eye of faith, trust in the Lord. And so the service that we render through the eye of faith, knowing that the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Well, then look at the next thing that he says in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ because of what Christ did in our own lives. He changed us. He made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Before God, we are made new creatures. You know, one of the great blessings, and I've done a lot of studies out of Ephesians, but one of the great blessings out of that book is to see the many times that we read that we have this and that in Christ. It's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's saying. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, there's another thing he talks about. And so you're looking at, you have 3, 4, 5. Here comes another one, number 6. And he says in verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled." That is, he has bought us back. He has put us as part of his family. He said, "Who has reconciled us to himself by," and get this, "by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So we serve the Lord because he has reconciled us to God. We are right with God. And then he has given to us a ministry of reconciliation, being able to take the word of God to men and women. Now, you know what's interesting? He gave us, he committed to us this ministry of reconciliation. But look at the latter part of verse 19. "And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You see, God didn't only give us a job. He gave us the tools whereby we can carry that job to its fullest. Now, think about that. God gives us and equips us so that we can do this work of reconciliation that he wants us to do. We bring men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus Christ. He makes them right with God as we present these people to him. For in verse 21 says, "For he hath made him," that's Christ, "to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We're going to listen to a song, and then we'll get right back in to the seeing how God puts us into his service.
I can hear my Savior calling, who will work for me today. Sweetly now the tones are calling, will you follow all the way? Hear the Savior gently pleading, come, the workers are so few. Just like you, of the need there's no denying. Later many Christians say, souls are lost and men are dying. Christ needs someone for today. Hear the Savior gently pleading, come, the workers are so few. My salvation so just like you. I need someone just like you.
Well, amen. The Savior is calling. He's calling for workers. And, you know, you see that in here, in moving right on in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "We then, as workers together with him," with Christ, "beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So the cry is for laborers. Who will go for us? You know, the Great Commission that our Lord Jesus Christ gave, and I know there are people that debate, was it an Old Testament echo? No. It was a New Testament, and it was commissioned to be carried out by the church. And today yet, that Great Commission is to be carried out. That has not been discharged from our war chest. That is a job that we must do. We must go out and tell people about the Lord. And what a blessing when you carry the gospel out to people and share with them how God has provided a salvation that can be theirs full and free. My people will call upon the Lord, and we watch their lives change. They want to proceed along in serving the Lord and be faithful in baptism, be faithful in church membership, be faithful in church. You see, that's all part and parcel of this. That lays the foundation so that then God can use us in his capacity to bless his people, to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And you know, my friend, when we go out and tell people about the Lord and we lead people to Christ, any truly born-again believer will rejoice in that. If a person cannot rejoice in somebody getting saved, then it's questionable whether they've ever been saved. I'll tell you what, I see people go down the aisle from time to time at church and realize that they had trusted Christ, and I can't help but have tears coming up in my eyes because I'm just rejoicing that these people have gone beyond. You know, they've heard the gospel. Now they want to receive that gospel. So the service that we need to render. Now, we're going to be looking at the balance of this week's broadcast and in the broadcast next week. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures that lead us to the thought of being faithful and serving the Lord. I want you to go back with me to Psalms 91. The Psalms, there are many Psalms. I'll tell you, 37 is a fantastic Psalm to study. And it's just that there's so many Psalms there where God is giving out the commission of serving him. But we go over there to Psalms 91, and there's a couple of truths here that I'd like to bring out for you. And here we go. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wing, or under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now move with me down to the 14th verse. And by the way, you look here at all of the covering that God gives to his people, how he provides for them. But come down to verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. God says, listen, because he hath set his love upon me. You see, in the service that we render to the Lord, God is taking note of the attitude of your heart and mine. And if we've set our heart on the Lord, regardless if we're going to accomplish a whole ton of things or just a few things, if we set our heart on the Lord, Lord, I want to glorify you. I want to please you. I want to honor your name. He says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Now, you and I are known by name. God knows us. But the fact that we know him. Look at verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So here God is saying to the psalmist, the man that is going to set his heart on me, I'm going to set mine on him. God is looking for people who want to serve him, who want to give their heart, their all, their life to the Lord, that he can then set his hand of blessing upon them and bring them to that place of growth that he desires to do. You know, it was Jeremiah who said in 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." You know, God has so many things he wants to show his children. And in many cases, they're great blessings that you can't know until you're really enthroned and involved in the work of God. Then God starts revealing himself to you, to me, and we start growing in him, and he reveals himself, as he says here in verse number 14. So are you serving the Lord? Are you anxious to serve the Lord? Are you delighted if somebody asks you if you'll serve the Lord in this or that capacity? I trust that you are. I trust you want to be a vessel fit for the Master's use, one that he can turn this way and that just for his glory. If we might be of spiritual help to you, dear friend, I want to invite you to contact us. We got an email that you can contact us, W-O-T, that stands for Way of Truth, W-O-T at W-O-T-B-M.org, and then make mention, Message of Truth. You can put M&M down at the bottom of it, and then make your statement or comment, and we'll try to help you spiritually any way we possibly can. This is Brother Fon Miller. Delighted you've taken the time to be with us. Let's pray. Father, use your word. Speak to hearts. Glorify your own name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.